Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For the past several months, I have been receiving letters about sweepstakes. Letters that say in very bold type, sometimes seen through the envelope, "Reverend Richard Radke is the winner of $10 million. And then I look at the fine print and it says, "If your number matches the winning number." Well, that's a very big word, that little word, "if," but it means a lot, because once again, we see an illustration of how the ways of the world and even the promises of the world are not always fulfilled, certainly not in the ways we are led to believe. But the Word of God, and particularly this word of our Lord Jesus Christ for today from the Sermon on the Mount, speaks to us, and yes, even calls us to believe the promise of the Lord, which in the key verse, verse 33 of this text, says this: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." This is quite a promise that our Lord gives to us today, because he's telling us that all things, including and especially our life, all things are in his hands. And therefore, we need not worry or be filled with anxiety. This is quite a text to bring to this particular group, this congregation gathered here today. Professors, doctors of theology, students learning theology, some pastors, staff members, and others. In fact, as we speak, there is probably not a group in the whole city of Fort Wayne gathered together that has quite the spiritual outlook and foundation that this congregation does today. So why would I tell theologians to believe the promise of God? After all, don't we study the scriptures and read the scriptures and translate the scriptures and interpret the scriptures and teach the scriptures? Of course we do. But we also live in a world that is material. And the things that Jesus names are the things that we need every day: food, clothing, shelter, the necessities of life. Yes, we need these things, but we cannot trust these things. But sometimes we cross over the line. And sometimes we find our hearts filled with anxiety and worry. What are we worried about? Bosnia? Probably not unless we have relatives there. Or the Mideast? Probably not unless we're going to travel there. What are we worried about? We're worried about ourselves, our health, our personal economy, our grades, our family, our call. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us when he says, "O you of little faith," because so often we hesitate in faith, and the sin of worry and not trusting in the Lord is our sin as well as the sin of other people. We need the forgiving, embracing love of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he died on the cross to give, and which he rose from the grave to assure for each of us today. So our Lord Jesus Christ redirects our lives and our hearts today. He redirects us once again back to his promise, and he doesn't tell us something like, "Don't worry, everything will be all right." But rather he says this: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and," not then, but "and these things shall be added unto you." And then he reminds us, remember the pagans, or the Gentiles, as this translation said, are the ones who chase after or run after these things. But your heavenly Father knows. He knows that you need all these things, and not only does he know that, he says all of your needs will be met. Today we have yet another promise, another gospel promise from our Lord as we receive the Lord's Supper, a meal of grace and blessing. What greater assurance could we have than the assurance that our God gives to each of us today? The assurance that this sacred meal of which we partake today actually reaches back in time to that night when our Lord was betrayed. It's a sacred meal that has been offered in my congregation, St. Paul's, for over 155 years. It's a sacred meal that in the midst of a world of massive changes and advances and all kinds of good things, yet it's a world that is dying. And we live in this world, and this sacred meal reminds us that in the midst of a dying world, there is life, and there is peace, and there is forgiveness for you and for me. Here is God's promise, the true body and blood of his own Son given and shed for each of us to strengthen our faith, to enable us to believe the promise, and to enable us to sing, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.